Greetings, everybody. I hope you guys are good. I hope you guys are well. Wow. Firstly, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning into our episodes. We've been having amazing reviews. We've been having amazing feedback, and you guys are engaging with our content. And our aim is definitely to empower you, to keep you, and to make sure that you are in the know, in the knowledge of what leadership is, as the Leadership Talks on Empowerment Podcast. So this week we have an amazing guest. We have an amazing guest who's doing amazing stuff in the province of Rustenburg, and my brother Lebogile Medupi. And I'm excited for this conversation because it has been a long coming. And we're finally here. And I just want you to drop a comment, drop a like, and share your thoughts as well. We're touching on a very, very important topic today, which is the importance of church leadership. As church boys, we just wanted to have a chat and find out what are the insights that we can share and what are the observations that we have. And this is the conversation. Enjoy. Have a blast. Cheers. Cool.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, man, I think our conversation was something that has been long coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so firstly, I'd like you to just introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you really do?
Sure. Okay, my name is Lebogile Medupi. I'm a speaker, I'm a facilitator. And I run an organization called Metamorphosis Generation, focused on skills development, our transformation, mostly focusing on the youth, the young people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. I think every person who really comes back and try to focus on the young people, there is a level of conviction that they have in themselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe also certain experiences that you probably have propelled you to go that direction. Maybe before we get into the topic that we're going to be talking about, what really caused you to go back and say, I want my focus for my whole life to be, you know, empowering the young people?
That's okay. I'll put it like this. I grew up in church.
Yes.
Sunday school, that was me, ZCC. But as I grew older, I didn't know where I fit in, which was weird. I found later on where I fit in, but growing up as a young person, well, I'm still young, I'm still considered youth. I still don't know where I fit in terms of, there's people that say, like, I like sports and I like to dance, I like music. As for me, I do all of that and some. I do everything, but to kind of say pinpoint in terms of what I do, I wouldn't tell you. Now, for me to say that, I found out that I was confused about myself. So then there has to be kids that are struggling with the same thing.
Yes.
So that's when I said, let me focus on these kids to kind of help them to navigate themselves and find themselves in this earth, because as a young person, when you're confused, it's very tricky to, you know, find yourself, because you're going to find yourself and overcompensate.
Definitely.
And you're going to get hurt, you're going to get stabbed by other people, getting disappointed over and over to the point where you give up on your life and you're like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So my thing was to go find those kids who don't know where they fit in and trying to kind of navigate them, like, no, what do you like? What is it that you would do for the rest of your life without even getting paid?
Yeah.
What's your passions? What do you find more joyful in doing? So, yeah.
Sure. Would you say while you were doing that work, somehow it was helping you refine yourself in a way?
100%.
Yeah.
I hated to teach.
Yeah.
That was something that I hated, because I thought I was dumb. But the more I taught, the more like, oh, so I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
I literally ran away from that. Even in becoming a facilitator.
Yeah.
It's something I look back, I'm like, I did not want to do this. Stand in front of people or even speak.
Yeah.
I did not see myself doing that. Because I didn't think I'm good enough to be in front of somebody. But the more like, no, dude, what do you do? And spoke to them and find out what they like. It helped me redefine who I am and why I'm here on this earth. Mm. Yeah.
That's amazing. I think I relate to most of your things that you just said in terms of teaching. Luckily for me, maybe what propels me to teach was because, you know, quote unquote, you're good in class.
Yeah.
So somehow you're forced. I remember some time when I was in grade 10, I was pushed to teach grade 12s, you know, geography and science and whatever.
Yeah.
Which those being good in school is, you know, it's good and a curse at the same time.
Okay.
Because there's a pedestal that society puts you, and a level that you need to reach, a certain amount of money you need to have, a certain amount of success you need to have.
Yeah.
And when you get to varsity and varsity Charles, and varsity Charles, you really like,
how?
You know, yeah, how? You know, yes, you survive and get out of it, pick up yourself, you know, but the level of expectation that society put on you, if you don't fight to really find your voice and what you really want, it becomes very difficult to actually go back even at home.
Sure.
You know, because you left there as a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, so you must come back, driver, you must come back.
Sure.
You know, all these things. So I think I relate with you when you say you have to stand. So for me, standing in front of those kids every time, I think even at some point when I failed in varsity, I still went back. I still taught some great kids.
Yeah.
Because I needed to see that, do I still have value without even this big?
Oh, wow.
That I went to get, you know.
Sure.
Let alone going, jumping provinces to go far from Limpopo to the KZN,
yeah.
You know? So yeah, so I think I definitely relate with what you're saying in terms of how all this process refines who you are and constantly wanting to be better. I don't think you ever arrive as a person.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you ever arrive. You're constantly a work in progress.
I think also we've been taught that if you find something that you love, you have arrived.
Mm.
And the more you when you find something that you love, then you find this nuances to it that you still need to level up within the specific thing that you like.
Mm-hmm.
For me as a speaker, I don't think I have arrived as yet. And the more I think I have arrived, the more I find like,
I'm
still far.
Yeah.
So the presentation that we've been given is that go to school, get your qualification, get a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Then you get the cars and the houses. Which in paper sounds true.
Yeah.
Do it in practicality.
Ah, I'm telling you.
And for me, the hardest thing is this, not having a qualification, being a college dropout. And now, who are you?
Yes.
Because now in the country, South Africa, that we live in, three things that makes you competent. Matric, license, and
a degree. And then, yeah.
If you don't have
already
that, you are incompetent. So now, which jobs are you going to work? Like, what's your success story?
Yeah.
Who are you going to stand in front of and try to motivate and try to encourage? What qualification, if it, like, what are you doing?
Already, because people, we know when you introduce someone and people like, MBA is like, You know, so you can hear the crowd okay. So it's like they gauge your level of intellect and whether your voice is worth listening to. Whether your voice is worth listening to. And they say, you know, this one studied in Massachusetts, like, Massachusetts.
Nice.
This one studied where, like, oh, okay, so you can pay attention to him now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very hard thing, like you're saying, that in a society and you don't have a qualification, you're fighting a lot of battles, I think.
My brother, because now when you meet somebody who's a lawyer, somebody who's an engineer, somebody who's a doctor, and they're very upfront about that. And shout out to everybody that has degrees, honors, PhD, because you're all putting the work.
Yeah.
And for some of us that didn't put the work, we feel inferior when you get into the room. Because like, you know, I'm a lawyer. Like, oh, shout out to you, my boy. You know, so even now when I have to introduce myself, because now the level of education, because to you, you are in rooms where people give themselves credit, you know, with that qualification.
Yeah.
How do I introduce myself? What value do I add? Because now I don't have a piece of qualification that tells me that I'm a significant.
Quote, unquote, yeah.
Now, going back home, now that's a whole different situation. Because now folks are bragging about, I've been to this university.
Yeah.
I'm going for my second degree. Yeah. And you're like, okay, okay, I see you.
Yeah.
But how do I then add value on this earth if I don't have a piece of qualification?
Mm.
How do I even add value in my community if I don't have this piece of qualification?
Mm.
Because now that's the presentation that we've been given. Then you come back and you see that the same folks that have qualifications don't really add value in their community.
Yes.
They would rather than stay into those communities where, you know, the middle class,
they don't need that.
Why would I need to go back?
Yeah.
Because we grew up in villages and townships, and we were taught this subconsciously. We are taught that get your qualification, get your 95 and leave and never come back.
Yeah.
And it is us. I think it is us, or maybe it's a God-given burden that we want to go back to the communities that we were in and bring more people to saying that, yo, this is not the end. There is actually more to life than the qualification that you have.
Definitely. Yeah.
So now if I'm willing to be the door that you get to go through, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I know a doctor that's looking for young people.
Yeah.
I know an engineer that's looking for young people. Now, if I get to be the door between you and that individual or that company, I'm good.
Yeah.
But those that have qualifications, I don't like them. I don't like people that have qualifications. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because they look you down.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What do you do?
Like,
no,
already, yes.
I'm just a human being. There's no
nothing
more. And you start looking at them, the attitude changes. And you then learn, life is so funny like this, that when you don't have anything of value, because qualification is of substance, you paid money, you put in the work, shout out to you. But you must have something.
Or after that,
like, do you have a company, run an NGO?
Can you speak something of sound?
Something, my boy, say something that we can, you know, actually listen to you. So that becomes a bit of a challenge, because now, and I like this, because you tend to overcompensate when you get to such rooms. So when you meet some folks like that, because you don't fit in because of this qualification, so you have to overcompensate so that you get to fit in and feel like you also belong in the room. Yeah.
Can I say something someone told me? Someone said that you are not, you are invited in the rooms because you know something other people don't.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you are not only invited in the room to add numbers.
Yeah.
It's because there's something you know that nobody in that room knows.
Sure.
And the weird thing is the perspective that, because I when I failed my varsity, because I think this conversation we're going to, how to then lead, because it's a leadership talk, so how to then lead your life back into a certain direction, you know. So, but I like the fact that we started, you know, here. So when I failed my varsity, it was my third year. I was supposed to finish.
Sure.
First half of third year, so I was supposed to finish. Then I filled some modules and I had to go stay home for 6 months.
Sure.
Yeah. And that time, then I started having a tug of war with school. I love school in my own life.
Sure.
Like, so I started having a tug of war with school, and I'm thinking, can I be someone of value without this paper? I've done all the different things, with have not even qualified yet.
Yeah.
I've done all these different things without the paper, you know. But now you're questioning, can I still have a voice? Can I still be of value without this paper?
Yeah.
Right. So and when you say that you get into a room and you try to overcompensate, it's because you are questioning whether, do I need to be here? Do I deserve to be in this room? Because already from there to here, I've had two MBAs and one honors and one, you understand? When you come this side, I'm like, ah, no, that's me, I'm just... Yeah. So luckily for me, I'll say fortunate, because I went back and finished the degree. Even though I work in an industry that is not even what I studied for, you know? So I need to come to Rustenburg so I can work in the mines.
That's interesting.
Yeah. because I did geology, so that's, I need to come in. So, but I got an opportunity to go back and finish. Like I said, the desire for school for me, even now, is very high to, like, I need to go back and do one to the professor.
Sure.
So, but I feel like it's hard, man, as a man.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's hard as a man because on top of attached values that are already added to you, mm-hmm. that you're supposed to be this, and now you didn't even go to school, and you are not even someone who does the unlawful things to get enough resources, you know. You want to do stuff the right way.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you lead your life out of that? How do you position your mindset? How do you look at things? How do you, you know, change your perspective around who am I as a person?
Mm-hmm.
How much value do I add, whether I have this or I don't?
Mm-hmm.
I can still stand. I remember one time when I was having a fight with my sister, she's like, you must go back to school, Kirwena. No, me, you can give me a mic and the president is here, I will still speak. And he will say, someone in that room will say, sure.
Yeah.
You know, that's how much conviction I had with myself.
Speaker,
I'm like, I'm like, no, it doesn't matter for me. Give me a mic, even if this president is here, I'll speak. I'm sure someone's going to get out of that room.
Their life will be different. Sure.
You know, so how do you lead your life out of that? Because there's society, there's yourself, mm-hmm. and there's the pressure you put, there's overcompensation that you do, and there's how you value yourself, and now having to push yourself to do things, you know, and get into spaces.
I simply put, mm-hmm. God.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think you can live or lead a life without God.
Mm.
God has to be at the center of your life because first and foremost, we do not create ourselves.
Definitely, yeah.
So if I did not create myself, there has to be somebody that created me.
Mm.
Now that individual has to help me in this life because now society tells us this is how the standards that you should lead your life.
Mm.
Now, if I don't meet those standards of having a qualification, living in a nice suburb or driving a nice car or having a nice, you know, paycheck, if I don't meet those criteria in society standard, I'm nobody.
Yes.
So there's no value that I get to add.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put God in everything, then you understand he's the one that kind of gives you the value.
Qualifies, yeah.
He qualifies the unqualified.
Mm.
And that scripture for me came through because I'm not qualified whatsoever.
Yeah.
But knowing that I was qualified, knowing that I was chosen before the foundations of the earth by him, validates me more ways than one.
Mm.
God is the one that kind of helped me shape and looked at myself differently because I looked at myself with the lenses of the society and I did not meet the standards. I did not, you know, there was no, I can't match here.
Yeah.
But then when I removed those lenses and I put God's lenses, I saw myself differently because I understand that he's the one that chose me, called me, gave me a purpose.
Mm.
Because now, how do I have this burden to encourage folk and speak to people and want to help people to get out of where they are to be in a better place? God in every single aspect of my life.
I think that's a very something that if any person is listening to this conversation to realize that even in moments where you feel like I'm worthless, I don't qualify in terms of society, God qualifies.
100%.
If you carry that conviction that I'm in this room because the bigger person qualified me.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to do what we have to do.
100%.
You know, because we're here. So I think that's a nice segue to go to our conversation about church. You know, because, yo, man, I think we had a bit of a glimpse of the conversation before about church leadership.
Mm.
I think church is a very interesting space.
100%.
And also to let you know, I also grew up in ZCC. I'm a Limpopo boy anyway, so
shout out.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Grew up in ZCC, I think around until 2005, and then stuff happened. My dad, you know, ZCC until he died.
Sure.
So, yeah, so I grew up in, I was born there, grew up in there. And along the line, you know, you find Christianity in a Mazalani, you know, set up, and then something, and then you start relating with you as well.
100%, yeah.
So how do you, you know, church leadership was something that is closer to my heart, because I feel like sometimes the leaders don't realize the bigger impact and the mission they have over people's lives. And they end up pushing their agenda over God's agenda. And in the process, it hurts human beings that you're entrusted with. So what's your take on what on the leadership landscape in the church? Like,
we're talking globally or the church, because now there's a local leadership and there's the
global. I think let's bring it back to our own space, in our own context of a local church, could be South Africa as a whole, in terms of the leadership landscape. What, you know, what have you observed, and yeah, what do you think, what's your perspective around that? And we'll double that into how can we, you know, do it right.
100%,
how is it done wrong, how can we do it right, and all the different facets.
I want to be controversial a little bit,
yeah,
but I also want to put some respect on it. I will start with ZCC, because I think that's my foundation stems from that. So the leadership is pretty much standard. Every branch of ZCC, it has pastors, the lead pastor, and everybody knows where they, you know, there's finances, everybody knows where they are. And there isn't that pressure of you don't belong, because everybody, either you wear the same like uniform. Standard uniform, church, a man wears a jacket, that's a standard. You can wear overalls during the week. There's no pressure. You go to Moria, like there's no fancy, you know, things. You can sleep on the floor. I've slept on the floor under the bus.
Yeah.
So you learn, I think for me, somebody corrected me, but the humility that comes with that, because ZCC has a lot of people that have money.
Yeah, CEOs.
Oh my God. Yeah. And when you then see them come to
your level
where you're like, I don't have money, but he's willing to eat the same food that I'm eating. That humbles you a little bit, right? And like everybody's literally comes same level. You know, he came at church driving a Porsche.
And it's parked there.
And you see, no, you know.
Yeah.
But the level of humility when they enter church, you know, this family, they have money.
Yeah.
They have aircons, you know, back then they had DSTV was competing. You knew that this man, this Murutis has, he's working in a fine job. So how they come and how they talk to people, simple. There's no arrogance to it. There's no, you must do this. No. We understand your situation. How do we make it better? You're looking for a job. How do I help you? Now you have pastors that would come to your house any day, any time of the hour. If you call those pastors, they're going to show up. That is a beautiful thing. There's no, you must make an appointment. No. You call a pastor at 12, I'm like, hey, Maruti, something is on my roof here. My daughter and my family, they show up.
Yeah.
And they don't come alone. That's one thing I loved about it. They don't come alone. They will call three pastors. I'm like, we're going to that family. Yeah. We're going to go. And once they're done, they will come back during the week to check up on you. That for me is what a servant heart is. That's what Jesus, they modeled Jesus, because I would then take it to the Pentecostal or the charismatic church where the leadership is very celebrity-like, you know.
Kingship.
You know, it's, hey, if you're not wearing a certain way, they don't respect you.
Lord.
If you're not driving a certain car, they don't respect you. You know, and there's cliques. Yeah. I'm not saying ZCC doesn't have cliques, but in the charismatic, the cliques is very visible. You must have money, you must have a car, you must stay in a certain suburbs, you must work a certain job. You know, and there's this coffee date that they invite you in. If you don't get a coffee date, my boy, you are not within. You haven't made it.
There's hierarchy.
You know, which then becomes a bit of a challenge, because even when you go to church, you understand the hierarchy and that you don't belong in this church. Even serving becomes a bit of a problem. And my observation with the local church, charismatic, Pentecostal, you know, different denomination, the charismatic churches or members, they don't serve as much as your ZCC and your you know, other denomination. Because service to serve or to be seen, it's that. There's serving and there's to be seen. The charismatic, I want to be seen by a pastor. You go ushering team, I'm in the music department.
Government meeting,
you know. So I'm doing so much, then comes back to the overcompensating. To the point where I miss the heart of serving people because I need to be seen by the senior pastor. And that misses the point of me serving. Because now I have to do all of this to be noticed by a whole human being who still struggles.
And is busy with his own things.
But I want validation from this individual. And I get the position because I'm in the ushering team, the worship, I'm all over. So because of that servitude of I'm being seen by the senior pastor, then I back position. Now, because I was overcompensating, when I get to that position that I've been given, I treat people like they're beneath me.
Because you now have arrived.
I've arrived. Now I can, you know, I can call the pastor to my house. The pastor now, same WhatsApp group. The pastor comes to my, you know, we go to holidays together.
We invite enough for the event.
Do you get what I mean? Can you go with me? And I forget that I was in the same shoes as that individual. And it's, I don't know how, but we forget where we come from. And even the Bible that we read, I don't think we read it correctly. Because at the core of everything, we have to serve one another.
Yeah.
The Bible simply says this, love your neighbors, you love yourself.
Yeah.
Now, if I love myself, would I mistreat somebody else?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And you also see it, the dynamics, because the same parents, they have kids. Their kids are starting to act up.
Hey.
And I don't know if it's a punishment or whatever that is, or in your household, you don't know how to lead. But we're gonna see your kids, and you
show us.
And, they will show you flames.
That's why you now have a an Ababa rooted this.
You get what I'm saying?
A type of a trend where somehow, Barry, the apple doesn't fall. The apple this time around fell far from the tree because they do things, and you like you. And there's also a narrative around that to say no. There's a lot of pressure for. The pastor's kids and all that may be valid or invalid, but it's the sowing that you were doing that now falls, the rest of the fathers falls on their kids now.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say is maybe the cause of that kingship, that mindset of, because I always feel like anyone who becomes a pastor must serve first. I think that's
100%. Yes.
Serve under someone, submit, then you really you understand what it means. Don't mushroom and be a bishop and all these things, you know.
Oh, I'm a prophet.
No, those ones are the ones who abuse people. So I feel like somewhere you need to serve somewhere. Let there be a track record.
100%.
Ooh. We know hurry. That device served to level healer for 10 years.
100%, yeah.
You can trace the tree from it.
Sure. But also, coming back to my general observation when it comes to leadership as the church.
Yeah.
I don't think as a country, we've had good examples. If I were to, if you ask me now, who do I then look up to in terms of a church leader or a pastor, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that made an impact.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think very, very hard to then pinpoint, because now we don't have a good track record of leadership in terms of the church. I would then say King, who's this king? And Otsako Zerast. I'm forgetting his name. Mangope. He was a king and he was also a pastor. Some folks tend to say that his leadership was different, but for me, visibility, I can still see where he was.
And how he walked.
And you then have conversation with people that served under him or lived under him. They still revere the man. ZCC is still very questionable in that sense because its leadership style is not really for the public.
Yeah, so
you can't really, you know,
gauge it.
Yeah, so with other denomination as well, but in terms of the holistical as a country, we don't have leaders that we can like, no, this pastor did this. One might argue with me on that regard, but for me, in my generation, ask me a pastor that stood and worked. Yeah, it's very, they're not visible enough in that regard.
Yeah, because I wanted to add to that they might be there, but don't get the PR than the other people that are getting. We don't know.
We don't know who.
Yeah. So just also because we are not coming out, we'll keep on saying there is no one because we don't see.
100%. But also, if I were to look at the leadership in general, the leadership doesn't really cater for the young people. Our country doesn't really cater for such.
It filters even to the church, like from country-wise to the church. I'm like, why is it difficult for young people in the church to lead or participate in, or they feel the struggle of participating in the church, or they need to be at a certain level of academia, marriage, what to now still be seen as valuable.
And I'm still gonna come back to the PK because it also says a lot about how their parents lead. And I understand, I've few PK friends. I understand why they are very upset to their parents. Because at the end of the day, their parents. So now we see them as Fundisi, Mfundisi and all of that. We revere them for that because they lead us in that capacity. But when they get home, they become a complete different
person.
Or they are pastors
in the house as well.
Sometimes I don't need a pastor to pray for me. I've got like, you know, results. Pastors tend to then focus on the community at large because of that capacity. Neglecting their role as parents. So now a kid who grows up in a pastor's house, they feel neglected. Some say the pastor, their parents gave attention to other kids more than they gave attention to themselves. The only time their parents or our pastor responded to them is when they did something wrong. I needed to drink, I needed to stay out, I needed to do drugs.
So that he notices me.
100%. For me to get your attention, I need to do X. If I don't get a good grade, you punish
me. You're on my head. Yeah.
But when somebody's kid gets same marks, and
you are calm. You encourage them.
But when it comes to me, you are hard compared to me. Then comes the church itself, the community. Like, oh, I'm a pastor's kid. They must do this. And the disrespect that we have as church members is dictating how a kid should be. No one, I'm rude to say you should be like, hold up, are you
a pastor's child.
Kid?
Yeah.
Have you been a pastor's kid?
Yeah.
How? What do you know? What reference can you say that you don't know that because you're not a pastor's kid? You cannot even relate. So you're putting these expectations on my life that I should be on church every single time. If you actually pray.
Empowerment Podcast. Inspire, equip, and empower.